In my last parish, there was a family who, in the summer, between their oldest child's senior year of high school and freshman year of college, planned to take their first trip abroad. They were going to England and Scotland. They were going to see places they'd read about and talked about for a long time. But as the time for the trip approached, the oldest child began to say she didn't want to go. She said she couldn't leave her summer job. She said this was the last summer she'd have to spend with her friends. She said this was the last summer she'd have to spend with her boyfriend, who was going off to a different college. She said she didn't really like her sisters. It got ugly. There were scenes, doors were slammed. Finally, the parents had had enough. One evening, her father went to the girl and told her if she didn't want to go on the family holiday, that was fine. He had called her grandmother, and she could go to New Jersey and stay with her while the rest of them were out of the country. Well, she didn't want to go and stay with her grandmother any more than she wanted to go to Europe. And she began her litany. I can't really leave my summer job. I can't really leave my friends. I can't really leave my boyfriend. And her dad looked at her, and he calmly said, "It's not about you. It's about the family doing something together. It's not about you. It's not about you." As a priest, that's a phrase I find myself using with people from time to time. A person tells me she won't come back to church because somebody has attacked her during a church meeting. I find out that during a committee meeting, there was a spirited discussion over some particular course of action. After the discussion, a vote was taken. Her side lost. But it was a discussion about an issue, not a referendum on a person. "This is not about you," I said. "This is a discussion about the course of a ministry in our parish. This is not about you." I go to the hospital and I make a pastoral visit to someone who's ill. The person is sitting there in the bed, visibly depressed by the situation. "I can't believe this is happening to me," are the first words he says to me. "What have I done to deserve this? I've always been careful with my diet. I've watched my weight. I've exercised regularly. Why would God do this to me?" And I sit across from the bedside thinking, "This is not about you. This hospital has maybe 700, 800 beds, all filled with people with various ailments. Those ailments are because of bacteria or infection or some physical problem. Do you actually think God goes around punishing people for their transgressions? If God does, then he isn't very efficient in his punishment. This is not about you." But you see, I fear we are trained by our culture to instinctually react as if everything is about us. We're encouraged to take everything personally. We are urged to think of ourselves as the center of the universe. We judge all people, experiences, and events, all organizations, all relationships, on what they can do for me. In this climate, church, and what we're about here, can be quite a reach for us. Because church is about God. Church is not about me. It's not about the clergy. Sometimes folks get confused into thinking the church centers around the clergy. No, I'm not the star of the show. God Almighty is what church is about, not whomever happens to be on the staff at any particular moment, even the moment you joined. Again, I realize that we're swimming upstream here. Because we're accustomed to thinking, if it's not about us, what could it possibly be about? Nowhere is this plainer than in the Episcopal Church. The recently retired dean of the cathedral in Dallas has noted that when General Convention was adopting a new prayer book in the 1970s, the debate started with a 20-minute presentation by a leading theologian and a seminary professor on the need for the changes. This was followed by a 10-minute response by another theologian from a different perspective. This theologian began by affirming a number of points made in the initial address, and only then did he respectfully differ in his opinion. This was followed by a panel discussion among a group of outstanding leaders and thinkers. Only then was the discussion open to the deputies and the audience who could ask questions. Today at General Convention, debate is limited to 2 minutes a person and consists exclusively of people sharing their feelings and their personal experiences on the issue at hand. A while back, I heard a sermon delivered by a bishop at a convocation of Episcopal parishes. The bishop talked about the church. She gave examples of people she'd known throughout her ministry, people who embodied Christ-like service in their daily lives. Her examples were inspiring. She told about people who visited the sick, people who reached out to others in need, people who stood up for justice and what's right. I thought it was a good sermon. On the way out, one priest said to me, "Don't you find it curious that she never once mentioned Jesus?" And it was true. If you did not know anything about the church, on the basis of that sermon, you might actually think the church is a volunteer service agency, a collection of busy, earnest individuals, and nothing more. Isn't that how we put it in the children's song that goes, "I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together, all God's people all around the world, yes, we're the church together"? The church is you and me. Isn't that what it's about? Well, that's quite a way from speaking about the church as the body of Christ. It's a long way from today's gospel, for that matter. The crowds clamor after Jesus, thinking he will produce bread on demand. Jesus attempts to teach the crowd that they ought to hunger after the bread that is eternal life. "I am the bread of life," he tells them. That's what Jesus often does, particularly in the Gospel of John. He turns our earthly, mundane needs away from ourselves and to things eternal, things heavenly, the things of God. This Sunday, as on most Sundays, our gospel is not about us. It's about God. Alas, if we are not careful, particularly in our North American context, it's easy to get confused into thinking that the church is mostly about us, that worship is little more than a pep rally to motivate people to live better lives, that the supreme test of Sunday morning is that we get something out of it. And yet it is my duty to tell you and to keep reminding myself, this is not about me, this is not about you. What is it about? It is about Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and presently reigning. This is about God. This is primarily about learning to suppress some of your own self-concern and to cultivate more God-concern. Sunday is a time when we are confronted with God's feelings about us. It isn't a pep rally for what we can do for God, but it's an occasion to celebrate what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. There is a word for worship. We don't use it all that often, maybe because we don't experience it much. That word is ecstasy. You probably think of it as the name for an illicit drug or in terms of sexual arousal. But we've lost sight of what the word truly means. The word ecstasy comes from the Greek, meaning literally to stand outside of oneself. When we are in ecstasy, we stand outside of ourselves. That is a very, very hard thing for modern people like us. Our culture encourages us always to delve deeper into ourselves, constantly to monitor our personal feelings, continually to worry about questions like, what am I feeling now? What am I thinking? What am I supposed to be doing? Sunday worship is a blessed opportunity to look beyond ourselves, to get outside of ourselves. Or, as I'm fond of saying, in the words of that great theologian Carly Simon, to turn down the sound in our mind. When I was in seminary, I was required to spend a summer doing something called clinical pastoral education. And the Protestants say that purgatory doesn't exist. Ha! We spent the morning on the floor of a hospital with patients. And that was great. And then in the afternoon, all of the seminarians got together, and we were urged by our leader to share our feelings, to talk about our fears and our frustrations, to courageously look within ourselves. At first, it was a bit awkward, but eventually everyone joined in. After all, most of us, despite anything we say, love talking about ourselves. And yet one of the seminarians didn't speak that much. He said to the group, "I tried looking inside myself on a number of occasions, and frankly, I don't see much there. To tell the truth, I think I'm sort of a superficial person, maybe weak. I'm not sure that I have much of significance to share with the group." Our leader assured the fellow that this was definitely not the case. We were all eager to hear his inmost thoughts and feelings. He must share. And whatever he shared would be invaluable in and of itself. He was obviously someone who needed greater self-confidence. But then the seminarian said, "I really feel that some of the most interesting things about me are things outside of me. My relationships, my friends, my family, my God. I think the most interesting thing about me is that God has chosen me with all my inadequacies and failings to do good work for God. I think that's what makes me special. The significance of my life comes from outside my life. If I stripped away all those things that are outside me, if I took away my family, my children, my wife, the people in my church back home who are supporting me, I don't really believe there'd be much there." I thought his statement was profoundly Christian. He could have put it another way, of course. He could have said, "It's not about me." Now, in our world, there is no more important job for a preacher than to lift that up before you. It's not about you. It's about God. You may be a wonderful person. Your achievements may be impressive. You may have many great attributes. But the thing is that the Christian faith keeps reminding you it's not about you. Rather, it's about God. God who loves us so much that he sent his Son to save us and to give significance to our lives, a significance we wouldn't have if God hadn't given it. Thank the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about you. Amen.